Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. Someone appears to have said something on YouTube that is incongruous with my understanding of the world based on things I've read on the internet and newspaper articles and stuff like that. This makes me most unhappy. I shall have to write a comment in which I ask them where they're getting their information from, and I will do that without reading any of their books or looking at any of their previous videos. That'll teach them to go around saying things that are incongruous with what I have read about on the internet and in newspapers and stuff, and therefore which must be right. How dare somebody expect me to bother looking at any of their previous videos or reading any of their books before passing comment? I hope that person is sufficiently chastened and bowed. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, today I would like to respond to some comments that I have received on my previous video about the nature of intelligence. It seems that quite a lot of people, it surprises me this, comment and ask about information without actually checking the information in the box underneath the video where people are directed towards books and such like. I find it very surprising. But anyway, I want to wrap something up, which is I asserted in my last video that we lost IQ between 1880 and the year 2000, to which people have stated, well, how can you possibly know that? There weren't any IQ tests in 1880. That's correct. There weren't. The IQ test was developed in 1912. But we can know what's going on in terms of intelligence via proxies. And I look at the proxies for intelligence, that is to say, things which correlate with intelligence. And so we can trace those proxies across time and we can see what's going on. And some of you will be familiar with this already, but for those of you who aren't, I've put this in my book, At Our Wit's End, Why We're Becoming Less Intelligent and What It Means to the Future, which I wrote some years ago now. God, was it 5 years ago, with Michael Woodley of Manee. So how do we know intelligence is declining? Well, first of all, action times. So we can look at these. What is a reaction time? A reaction time is how quickly you respond to stimuli. So you have some lights in front of you and the light goes on. You press a button. That's your reaction time. Reaction time negatively correlates with intelligence. That is to say, the more intelligent you are, the quicker your reaction times are. At about 0.3, something like that. So reaction times were measured in exactly the same way in 1880 as they were in the year 2000. So we have representative samples of people on their reaction times, and we know that the reaction times are getting longer. We can then calculate, based on the correlation between the reaction times and IQ, how much that represents in terms of an IQ decline across that period, and Michael Woodley and his colleagues estimated that it was something like it was consistent with a 15 IQ point decline across that period. Secondly, colour discrimination. We've got information on this going back to the 40s, it's measured in exactly the same way. Colour discrimination is the idea that, of course, if you're intelligent, you need to be able to subtly answer a question. The more, the better you can distinguish between different properties, the better you can come up with the correct answers. Therefore, the more subtle your thinking is, and the ability to distinguish between different colours. They lay out the colours in a row with all of them subtly different from the others, and you have to put them in the right order. And colour discrimination has decreased across time, consistent with an IQ fall of something like 3 points per decade. The use of high difficulty words. Words are thinking tools. The more intelligent you are, then the more profoundly you will need to think. The more profoundly you will need to think, then the more subtle vocabulary you will require to do so, and therefore the higher your vocabulary will tend to be. This can be analysed using Google Ngram, and you can look at the use of high difficulty words in representative samples examples of texts, and you can control for the age of the word and various other factors which would interfere with the veracity of this. And it has been shown that we reached a peak in using high, here's a graph, in using high difficulty words in about 1850, and since then we have been in decline. And in terms of high difficulty words, we are now back where we were in about 1700. Backward digit span. Backward digit span is the ability to learn a series of numbers, to be told a series of numbers, and to repeat them backwards. This has been analysed between 1923 and 2008. Again, our ability to do this, it's a marker of intelligence because it's a marker of memory and it's a marker of other functions of intelligence. We are getting worse in terms of backward digit span. Spatial perception. This has been looked at in Germany between 1977 and 2014. Again, all of these studies, I cannot emphasise enough, they're nothing to do with immigration. They're all only on the native population. And in terms of spatial perception, we are getting worse. We are going back in terms of spatial perception. We are, our ability to perceive spatial quantities is getting worse. Piagetian developmental staging. This is another one. This is that you go through certain stages at certain ages. You go through certain intellectual ages. 11-year-old children, their scores on these are going down between 1975 and 2003. So in other words, they are becoming less intellectually mature. Another one is simply levels of genius. Here is a graph of levels of per capita major innovation. How do we define major innovation? Well, major innovation, it's quite commonly agreed on. Normally, if you are, as a wisdom of crowds thing, if you ask scientists about what counts as a major innovation, the agreement is very strong. And if you look across sources at what is a major innovation, again, the agreement is extremely strong among different sources. So we're fairly clear on what a major innovation is. And major innovations have reached a peak in about 1870. I've looked before at other reasons why major innovations might be going down, such as this idea of low-hanging fruit and whatever. So please look at those videos where I have explored that phenomenon. I have noted that it's almost certainly nothing to do with it. Creativity is, to a great extent, a function of intelligence. There are creativity tests that have been administered across time since the 60s that test your ability to engage in divergent thinking and things like this. We are becoming less creative across time, which is presumably why we have to keep repeating things or making remakes of things like Dad's Army or the rise and fall of Reginald Perrin or The Darling Buds of May. We're less creative than we used to be. Again, there are other reasons. Political correctness, ideology, whatever. Of course, there are other reasons, but all of these things together create a parsimonious case that there is one underlying factor, and that is declining intelligence. Another issue is the most important is the smoking gun, which is genetics. So this is a graph from Iceland, and it shows that across three generations, alleles that are associated with very high intelligence have decreased in the population of Iceland. Across three generations, their prevalence has decreased, again, among the native Icelandic, consistent with an IQ fall of about 0.3 points per decade. Now, other possibilities are pollution and that sort of thing, but the problem with that is that Michael Woodley and his colleagues did various analyses, and they showed that it is the genetic issue which best explains the pollution relationship with falling IQ rather than intelligence itself. It's a genetic factor that fits with the data and the way the data is working. And also, pollution levels were very high in early modern England. All kinds of exposures to toxins were going on there. So, now, and some of you have also said, someone actually wrote that, oh, this is nonsense, the idea that intelligence is going down. Haven't you heard of the Flynn effect? I did a video on the Flynn effect a year ago or so, saying that the Flynn effect is irrelevant to this issue. So let me stress it again. What is the Flynn effect? The Flynn effect is the rise in IQ scores across the period from about 1900 to about the year 2000 on Western samples. What was actually going on beneath the hood, to use the Americanism? Well, it was the Flynn effect is overwhelmingly on environment. It's an environmental issue. It's nothing to do with genetics. That's the first thing. The second thing is that we understand intelligence as a pyramid. At the base of that pyramid, there and the IQ test measures these things because it's an imperfect measure of intelligence. At the base of that pyramid, there are specialized abilities which weakly correlate with intelligence, like doing your shoelaces up or driving a car or noticing similarities or whatever. Then above those, you have the main three kinds of intelligence, that is to say spatial, mathematical and verbal. And then these factor down into one form of intelligence, which is G, general intelligence, because people that are high in one form of intelligence are normally high in the other form. So what's actually happening with the Flynn effect is there is a very specific specialized ability known as similarities on the IQ test battery, which is extremely environmentally sensitive. And something, we think it's, James Flynn said it was scientific spectacles, living in a more scientific society. Something has pushed that to its phenotypic maximum. And it's pushed it to its phenotypic maximum so quickly and so suddenly and to such an extreme that it has overwhelmed everything else that is happening on the imperfect IQ test, resulting in an IQ rise on the test. Now, that doesn't mean we're getting cleverer, because the IQ test is an imperfect measurer of intelligence. It's not measurement invariant. If things are happening in the environment, it can interfere with the veracity of the IQ test. It's quite a good measurer, but it's not perfect. And so that's what happened. Everything else that was happening on the IQ test was overwhelmed by this one factor and it being pushed up to its phenotypic maximum so quickly, and it's highly environmental. Now, while that was happening, we know that the more genetic components of intelligence, the things that are strongly genetic, like reaction times or whatever, these are getting worse. So this would imply you have what's called a co-occurrence model, that on the one hand, at the environmental level, based on this one measure which the IQ just taps into, we're getting smarter, but on every other level, we're getting less intelligent. Now, what would eventually happen is we would reach the phenotypic maximum of that of similarities. And once that happened, then the underlying IQ decline would poke through, even on the IQ tests. And that's exactly what happened circa 1997, circa those born in about 1979. Then you start to see a negative Flynn effect. And that negative Flynn effect, at first at least, is on G. It's on G. It's not on the similarities or whatever. It's actually on general intelligence. And general intelligence is highly, highly genetic. So the negative Flynn effect is genetic. At least at first it was. And that is consistent with the hypothesis that we were becoming less intelligent, but that across time, an IQ test is not a good thing to measure what's going on with. Among individuals, at a given point, an IQ test is a good measure of intelligence differences, but it's not a good measure across time, because it's not measurement invariant. What you need is something that is measurement invariant across time, that the instrument cannot be affected by what's happening in the environment. And that is reaction times, that is colour discrimination, that is per capita major innovation. These things are measurement invariant. These things are like stopwatches. And so this is what's happening with the Flynn effect. So the Flynn effect, in that sense, is an illusion. I mean, it's not an illusion in the sense that people who are subject to the Flynn effect will be better at certain things. I mean, it actually has economic effects on the society. You know, it's not an illusion in that sense, but it's an illusion in the sense that it has anything to do with intelligence. So, so I hope that answers the various questions with which I have been presented, and I will see you all soon. And goodbye!
Hello, hello, hello! The Jolly Heretic is an online public house which meets on Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York, in which we discuss the kind of based, fearless science which is increasingly expunged from our woke, joke universities. If you would like to help the Jolly Heretic public house, and there are many ways you can do so, please, please, please become one of my patrons on Subscribestar. Also, if you want to, you can donate to the channel using Odyssey and Entropy, and you could also purchase Jolly Heretic merchandise, such as shirts and mugs. All of the links are in the description. Again, I'd be most violently grateful if you could assist the Jolly Heretic Public House, and I will see you all soon, and goodbye!